In August 2014, 22-year-old college student Julian Plowden brought his camera to a rally and march taking place in downtown Atlanta, protesting the shooting death of Michael Brown. The photographs he took that day made waves in activist and artistic communities around the nation. But he almost didn't take any photos at all. Here, one year later, he talks about what made him change his mind and how his life has changed since that day. So you started out as a street photographer here in town while still a student at Southern Polytechnic State University. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And like, what does that mean? What is a street photographer?
Being a street photographer means going out into daily public life and taking photos of interesting scenes that you see on the streets that are unplanned. Mostly people would consider them candid.
And what kinds of situations do you find yourself taking photos of?
Well, I think, first off, Atlanta is a really beautiful city, and I think that a lot of people tend to just overlook, I think, casually beautiful things that are going on all around them. For example, seeing like little kids running with candy, selling candy down the streetcars, and I kind of fell in love with human interaction and the way people communicate. I see myself as kind of a third person to a lot of these events, and I'm there, but I'm not there. So it's really cool to sit back and see it play in front of me.
In taking the street photography, you weren't necessarily taking yourself extremely seriously as a photographer at this point. Why did you have a camera on you to begin with?
I started off college in architecture and got a camera to document my portfolio. I wasn't in the habit at first of taking my camera everywhere. And as many photographers will tell you, that's when you see the most beautiful shots. And so I would be riding the bus and I saw an actual trail of ducks crossing a road once, and like the driver of the bus got out of the car and like let the trail of ducks cross the road. And like missing those kinds of scenes will make you start to take your camera everywhere.
You went to a march in downtown Atlanta last August protesting the shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson. Can you tell me about that day?
Yes. I came down to the march because I've always been interested in social justice, and I haven't really been to like a protest or march like that before. As soon as I got around the corner of Centennial Olympic Park, I saw crowds and masses of people I'd never seen before. I saw media vans, policemen. I saw people standing up speaking with megaphones. And one of the things I noticed was that a lot of the artists I had hung around in the city, I'd been to a few different open mics and different things, they were actually speaking. And so I thought, you know, have all my artist friends become, I don't know, protest leaders overnight. And I noticed all the media crew there, and I just thought, you know, hey, you know, I'll let them do their job, be the professionals, and I can sit here and pay attention. But I started to get really more emotional and really more caught up in the moment. And I really just knew I wanted to remember that moment later. And as I started to pull out my camera and take photos, I noticed that as the crowd started to march, we heard louder and louder thunderclapping. No rain yet, but I swear, as soon as people start to link up their arms and start to march, we start to feel the first raindrops. And I thought, oh my gosh, I didn't know if people were going to split off and separate because it was obviously about to rain, or whether they were going to continue on. And to my surprise, even as it started raining, people held together and started marching in the rain. And I
linked
just
arms. I can see you doing that with your arms.
Yes, yes. It was really amazing. I never experienced anything like that before. So my camera isn't waterproof, but I decided to take photos anyway. And I started to run back and forth to the front of the line, to the back of the line. It was, the report said there were over 5,000 people there. I guess at first I was trying to make the moment real so I could wrap my head around it. But really, I just got lost in it and fell in love.
I'd love to look at one of these photos. And one that I'm thinking about specifically, it actually appeared on the cover of Creative Loafing not too long ago. And there is a toddler on her father's shoulders during this rally, and we see them from the back, and she's raising what appears to be a Black Power fist. Can you tell me about that photo, how it came to be?
Yes. Here you go. It was shortly after we started marching. It caught me off guard, honestly, because I wasn't even expecting many little children to be there. I was walking behind the little girl on her father's shoulders for a while, and I started to notice her making hand gestures similar to the people around her, like making a fist. And I thought maybe at first, okay, she's not really doing this. And I had to take a while and double check and make sure I wasn't going to take a photo that didn't represent the moment. Because I didn't want to take a photo that, oh, it looks like maybe she could be doing this, but maybe he just got it at the right moment. But really, I started to see that she really was a part of the march just as much as any college student, just as much as any adult there. And that's when I really decided that I wanted to capture it. Really did represent that moment, not just people, individuals by themselves, but families.
The composition is really striking. I mean, we do have this little girl, 3 or 4 years old, and she has this lavender T-shirt with little white hearts on it. And then you do see in the distance the Atlanta Bank of America building. So we know we're right here in town. And so it just sort of becomes instantly iconic.
Yeah, I am just...
So there's that architecture.
Yeah, seriously, the architecture influence, because I was always paying attention to the buildings in the background and not just the people.
One thing that you said that really strikes me is that at first you weren't taking photographs because you just wanted to experience it. You just wanted to be there. But it sounds like the more photographs you took, the more present you felt.
Yeah, it's a weird thing doing art and photography, and it's kind of like inserting yourself in a moment and then being able to kind of look at yourself from an outside perspective. I do photography, and I love to do it, but I didn't want to go there as a photographer because I wanted to be involved and be a part of it and be listening. But what started to happen was the moment was so amazing that I thought, oh my gosh, I have to take photos. This everything in me is telling me to capture this.
Before this march last August, you didn't really have a sense that you were part of the civil rights struggle.
Not directly, I would say. I think that I, like a lot of people, always felt like I was concerned with social justice and human rights. And I saw myself...
And I'll say for the listening audience, you are an African-American
yes,
man.
Yes. So you can say black, too. That's fine. I think that growing up in the South, definitely, Columbus, Georgia, I was never too far away from civil rights knowledge. So that's why I always felt ingrained in me. I just wanted to get to a place where I could give back.
What other photos did you bring in?
Let's see.
Many.
Yeah.
Got a
many,
whole stack.
Many. So actually, okay. Right before the crowd of protesters start to round the corner where the National Center for Civil and Human Rights is, as I mentioned, it was raining and thunderstorming. I was having to constantly wipe my lens. But there's one photo that I think really captures kind of chaos of the moment, where you have just this storm of people turning this corner, where you kind of capture the masses. You have a no justice, no peace sign. You have people running in the rain right beside the police motorcycles. And it's one of those photos that I think captures really how it felt to be there. Because that one has a lot of movement.
Yeah, there's a lot of movement here. We sort of see these folks up front, and they've all linked hands. And all of these folks in yellow vests, they're kind of pulling over to the right. And we see the crowd kind of following them, surging after them. And it's interesting, you called them a wave.
Yes, it looks like a wave of people.
They're in the rain.
Yeah, and you can see that the police and the people in the vests are kind of trying to guide it going on. But with the rain and the buildup of the water and the people yelling and all the different signs, it's a controlled chaos.
It makes me think about the fact that, you know, folks who weren't necessarily old enough to be part of the civil rights struggle that we think about when we think civil rights struggle in the 1960s, it's like those have become almost mythic.
Yes.
And when we think of marches, we think of, oh, back then. And so, I don't know, it must have been really something to suddenly find yourself part of something happening today.
Yes, I think that a lot of young people feel like that. That sort of legacy is, like you say, like mythic, or it's just sort of enshrined and it's sort of great. And you hope to one day maybe be half as good as these people you looked up to and been taught lessons about ever since you were little. What I've picked up on is that these people were still human. Dr. King, Malcolm X, Ella Baker. I think that a lot of my generation had a separation between understanding that, because we always had it taught to us as these people being so great. And so what I really had to do was understand that there's a role for everyone. And now when people kind of look up to me in that same light and they say, oh, you're doing so great, you're really helping out, I try to also let them know that they can do it just as easily too. I try to make it accessible to them.
So you took these photos
Yes.
at the march, and then you posted them to your website?
Yes.
And then what happened? I mean, what were you expecting to happen?
So if you can imagine, when I first got home after experiencing this, it was really kind of a moment of looking back through the photos and asking myself, did this happen? Was this moment as amazing as I thought it was? And so I want to say I took a day to kind of even out, because it was a lot to go through. I didn't expect to go out to a march and be running in the rain with the camera capturing what I thought should be in history books. And then to get back home and, you know, I guess I go back to school tomorrow or something like that. I uploaded the images onto my Tumblr, actually, and I want to say within 24 hours, they had over 50,000 notes on Tumblr, and people were really paying attention and loving the photos just as much as I did. And so that moment let me know, like, okay, this is real, and it's important, and it can't stop here. I came out to the march as a college student by myself with a camera, wanting to figure out how I could be involved, and instantly was involved. It let me know the power of my potential and the potential of what we could do together. Within a week or two, I was contacted by some of the organizers of the It's Bigger Than You march and asking me if I want to go to Ferguson, because they had seen my photos online by the time they were circulating a lot. Mind you, I still hadn't even done things like maybe found the people that were in the photos. I'm still waiting for the father or the little girl in that photo to come up to me one day in public and say, hey, you know, that's me.
So you went to Ferguson, and what other things have you done since then?
After Ferguson, I just started to go out to any protest I could in my spare time that was going around in Atlanta. But also, I started to present my work in art shows. I started showing my work at Georgia State, at Kennesaw, traveled to Harvard to work with some student activists there, been to Selma, Princeton. I've had my work added to Emory's marble collection.
So that's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
a lot.
I feel like
in 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. And it's been a test of figuring out what I'm doing as I go along, which isn't a bad thing. I start to research older photographers, older civil rights photographers, and see the sort of things that they were doing, so I could kind of give myself some sort of guidance. I start to realize that a lot of photographers got involved the same exact way.
Really?
And that they maybe were street photographers, and then there may have been kind of political unrest or social unrest going on, and they just decided upon themselves to go out and take photos and be a part of it. And then begins the story of their journey of how they became the people that I look up to or whatnot. And I was just kind of flabbergasted. I was like, well, I guess I'm doing the right thing.